Page Chaf Ezein. We finished the first segment of the Fabrengen, and just to summarize, we were talking about various reasons to celebrate the Shabbos, and the Alter Rebbe said the reason we celebrate the Shabbos is because the goyim, the firstborn, were so frightened when they heard that there is going to be the plague of the death of the firstborn that they made a civil war against the Pharaoh himself, and that's why we celebrate the Shabbos. That's the reason the Alter Rebbe chose to put in the court of Jewish law, but the simple reason to celebrate the Shabbos is because Jewish people did Hashem's commandment. They did what Hashem asked them, and they ignored the Egyptians, and they were ready to die to do the mitzvah of Hashem. That seems to be the main point. We asked, why is the main point that it's brought in the code of Jewish law that the Jewish people caused the nations of the world to fight with themselves? Why is it so important that the firstborn fought with the Pharaoh? So what we explained was, what that's unique over here is that the purpose of the neshama is coming to a body is in order to elevate the world. The neshama itself doesn't need to be rectified. The neshama's purpose is to elevate the world. And therefore, the fact that the soul has sacrificed for the sake of Hashem, that's not the focus, that's not the focal point. That's something the soul achieves. The focal point is what the neshama, the impact of the soul in the world. And therefore, we learned very interesting yesterday how there's serving Hashem within yourself, and there's your impact on the world. And the impact on the world doesn't begin with your animal soul. The impact on the world begins within yourself. There is your essence of your soul, your faith in Hashem, and how your faith influences your outside of yourself, your intellect, how your faith influences your feelings. So within yourself, the Rebbe said that you have your inside and you have your outside. And that's the beginning of the goal of the soul coming to the world, that the soul has its own intrinsic benefit and achievements, and that the soul impacts the world. So the goal of the soul coming to the world is not for itself, it's for the impact, and therefore, what's the focal point over here? The focus point is, what happened to nations of the world? Nations of the world, they rejected their king because he refused to free the Jewish people. So, the next part of the Fabrengen, we don't really have the end of the last segment of the Fabrengen. We only have also the beginning of the next segment of the Fabrengen. But there are those who remember from the Fabrengen that the Rebbe concluded with how the change in the Gentiles was a result of the sacrifice of the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people exhibited such devotion to Hashem, that's what caused them to change. That's what caused them to turn around and to fight with the Pharaoh. So, similarly, a Jew is sent to this world to elevate the lowest of things.
So when we were talking about how did an express in actuality, is that the korban that they're giving part? What was in actuality?
What was what? The main celebration?
What did the Bchorim see?
They saw the Jewish people bring the sheep to their bedpost.
It's the korban. It's about the korban that they
right.
took themselves. It's a sakana pasha.
They put themselves in danger, right. So
that's
was...
That's what they saw, so that convinced them.
That convinced them that this is real, and they went to go fight with the Pharaoh. They didn't become tzaddikim; they still were died in the plague of the firstborn. But they, as the firstborn of Egypt, whichever level of wickedness they possessed, they still, as they were the Egyptian firstborn, fought a war with the Pharaoh when they saw the Jewish people's devotion to Hashem, which caused some transformation within them. Not a complete transformation, but something. I have a picture in my mind of one Shabbos HaGolo speech of Rabbi Reitschik. All of us, I don't know which Fabrengen he was quoting from. He's quoting from one Fabrengen of the Rebbe. But the Rebbe said that in the prayer we say before Baruch Sha'amar on Shabbos, thank Hashem for his because he is good, because his kindness is everlasting. There's letter Yud by the words, he kills the Egyptians with their firstborn. So the reason the letter Yud is there is because you're supposed to think about the letter Yud, as you say, the first segment of that prayer, and the letter Hey, the second segment. So the letter Yud...
When you have the groups.
the groups of the prayers,
each group,
each group, one of the letters of Hashem's name. Yeah. So the letter Yud specifically is associated with that line, Hashem kills the Egyptians with their firstborn. So Rebbe said the letter Yud refers to the 10th day of Nisan, and it refers to the Yud, the essence of the Neshama. That the Jewish people, by them displaying this devotion to Hashem, they reveal the essence of their soul on the 10th day of Nisan. That's why it happened on the 10th day of Nisan, because 10 is equal to the letter Yud. Yud is equal to 10. And that's a cause of transformation in the Egyptians. So, but the focus in this Verbrengen is, yes, they had sacrifice, but the purpose of our of their sacrifice is that their sacrifice should have an effect on the Egyptians. And that's why the Alter Rebbe focuses on that, because the purpose of the soul descent to the body is to affect the world. So because Rebbe spoke about danger, so the next segment of Verbrengen, Rebbe talks about a mission which seems to be a dangerous mission. Afal pisha bechlal is zayin. Afal pisha bechlal yesh nedin that sha'ayam d'adam b'makam sakana. Although there is a rule in general, zalacha, that a person may never place himself in danger, ain't a shaykh le'in shim neisom tzayim begolos mitzayim shabachol machas and shakrem shim mitzayim, kal shabarcho shalchesem l'sham. This does not apply to situations where Hashem has sent us. Hashem sent the Jewish people into Egypt. And Egypt is not just one country. Egypt represents all of different places that the Jewish people were exiled into. So,
the fact that we are here now.
The fact that we are here now.
We need to be here.
It means we need to be here. Right. And although Hashem says not to go into a place of danger, it does not apply to places where Hashem has sent us. Hashem sent us different.
Like 10, maybe 12 years ago, I wanted to make
aliyah. Yeah?
To forget a few places here.
Oh, totally. But even in Israel, they have to make aliyah.
Yeah, but that was the point of understanding. Like you said, Hashem sent you here.
You have mission to do it.
Don't run away from it.
Oh, exactly where we're going. What this means is this. It says in the Torah, Hashem tells his words to Yaakov, Hashem tells his laws to the Jewish people. Whatever Hashem does himself, he tells us to do. When Hashem says in the Torah that you are not allowed to go into a place of danger, that also means you can't send someone else to go to a place of danger. You can't tell someone else to go to a dangerous place. If you encourage someone to go to a dangerous place, and that person is damaged because of your instruction, you tricked them to going to some place that's dangerous, and because of this they got hurt. You're responsible to pay for their injuries. So when Hashem sends the Jewish people into exile, certainly He guards them that they should not be injured. Chas v'shalom. When Hashem sends a soul into the world, the Talmud says before the soul goes into the world, an oath is administered to the soul. Swear that you're going to be a tzaddik. The word oath comes from the word satisfaction. That means the soul is filled up to the point of satisfaction with all of the necessary strength that it will need to do its mission. So there's no room for fear of injury to the soul, God forbid, because Hashem gives the soul whatever it needs to withstand any temptations to fulfill its mission in this world. And Hashem promises that no Jew will be pushed aside from Him. That means eventually, and not just eventually, immediately, a Jew is brought close to Hashem. There's no room for any damage. And we should only go from strength to strength. There shouldn't be a situation where a Jew first is torn away from Hashem and then he comes back. We should only experience going higher and higher. So if Hashem sends a soul to this world, He guards the soul. He takes care of the soul. He gives the soul whatever it needs. Same applies to the mission that Hashem gives through an intermediary. Hashem gives missions to various Jews through Moshe Rabbeinu, through Moshe His servant, through the extension of Moshe in every generation, up including my father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, in our generation, although all the paths, as the Talmud says, are dangerous, all the paths are fraught with danger, but since a person is going in the mission of the Rebbe, since he is going to fulfill the mission of Hashem, as Hashem has entrusted him with this mission through the intermediary of the Moshe of the generation, certainly Hashem has given him all the necessary strength he needs to fulfill this mission. As he is organically, he does not have the power to do this. But since the one who's sending him is reliable, the Rebbe, for sure, he is given all of necessary strength he needs to fulfill this mission. Amnam. So just like the soul coming to the body is empowered with whatever needs to fulfill the mission, so to every single person where they are sent, they are empowered. This is similar to what we learned in Hayom Yom yesterday. Hayom Yom yesterday we learned, it says in Hayom Yom, the place of a person does not honor himself, rather he honors his place. So in Hayom Yom it said that the word honor comes from the word also kaved, which means a liver, referring to, in short, it refers to something that can make you cold. It's the place you're in doesn't make you cold. On the contrary, you're able to elevate the place you're in. You're able to honor the place you're in. You're able to lift it up. It's not the place you're in does not bring you down. Or as the Rebbe told Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Sachs, they said to him, it wasn't yesterday's Hayom Yom. Where was it? I read Hayom Yom a couple of days. Oh yeah, it was Hayom Yom of Shabbos. Yes, I haven't stopped moving since Shabbos. The word kaved means the liver, and the liver halachically, according to the way the Talmud looks at the liver, the word liver is a metaphor for frigidity. So the place that you're in does not make you cold and insensitive. Rather, you have the power to honor your place, to illuminate your place. So there in that Hayom Yom, the Rebbe says, just like this is true for the souls that are sent to the body, that Hashem gives you the ability to honor your place, to illuminate your environment, so too is this true in every person, that Hashem gives you specific power to illuminate the specific location that you're in your life. Not just your power to go to the world, but exactly where you're sent, you have the power. Okay. Amnam, you with me? Yeah.
I'm with you.
Let's go there.
You know, the liver is a huge metabolic solid organ and it's responsible for all the chemical transformations in the body. It generates a huge amount of heat. So I think that's really on. When you go into shock and the liver fails, you get cold and you die.
That's a shame. Okay. Great. I mean, not great, but yeah, I understand. Amnam. Kasher nimtzum makam hashlichus. However, when you're in the place you were sent, while you're on your mission, you have to look at what happened to Yehuda. Yehuda was sent by Yaakov to make a yeshiva. From there, they should study Torah. That means you have to look at, you have to do your mission where you're sent. What's your mission? You have to remember what your mission is. Not enough just you're found in that place. You have to know what the mission is. You have to be occupied in the mission. What's the mission? Yehuda had the mission, and every Jew has a mission to spread the Torah of Hashem. And be careful not to turn away from your mission, even the tiniest bit, even a little turn off of your mission. As Baal Shem Tov translates the verse we say in Shema daily, the verse is, be careful, lest your heart persuade you, seduce you, and you'll turn away and serve other gods. Baal Shem Tov said, it sounds like on the surface, first you turn away from Hashem, and later that leads you to serve other gods. Baal Shem Tov says, the moment you separate yourself from Hashem, automatically, immediately, you're serving of idolatry. There's nothing in the middle. if you're ascribing some power to anything other than Hashem, or you're serving anything else other than Hashem, so what are you doing? There's some other, that's idolatry. There's nothing in the middle. Either you're serving Hashem, or you're serving idolatry. There's nothing in the middle. And you should do this mission without being affected from Pari, the king of Egypt. I mentioned the Ferengin also how when Yosef took an oath, he'd always swear by the life of Pari. Don't be affected by Pari. When Yosef had to take an oath that wasn't true, he would say, "I by the life of Pari, I swear." Right? Oh, oops. Anyways, so... you should not to be affected by Parai, who wants you to build the cities of Pisim and Ramses. Those are the cities the Jewish people built that eventually were destroyed. They're just an empty pursuit. Don't be affected by Parai, who wants you to build Pisim and Ramses, whatever that means. How did they convince the Jewish people to work in Egypt? First, they put up signs. Patriots of Egypt unite. And the Pharaoh himself put on chains, said, "Look at me, I'm going to build Egypt too. Everyone be part of this." What happened was, they made this announcement, the Pharaoh himself comes, and he himself participates, and we've got to do this for Egypt. Everyone join, and everyone joined for one day. And everyone worked as hard as they could. Because this is, you know, they have to do this for the sake of Egypt. And then, all of a sudden, everyone else was excused from labor, except for the Jews. And the Jews were commanded to do exactly what they did that first day. Had the Jews not been affected, and not been so excited by the signs and the announcements, and they wouldn't have closed their books and gone out to join Pare, to participate in building the making the bricks, there would never have been any slavery. If you're not involved in your mission, and instead you're involved in the bricks of Pare, you're not focusing on your mission, you're focusing on Pare, then Pare becomes your commander. And then you end up having to build for him Pisim and Ramses. You also shouldn't be so hutzkit, shouldn't be so excited and impressed by the president of our country, the king of Egypt, and think that whatever the president is, you also have to be honored by being there as well. You have to be wherever the president is. We should learn from the story of Purim. What was the reason the Jewish people were punished in the time of the story of Purim with a decree against them? It was because they enjoyed the meal of that wicked person. It wasn't because it wasn't kosher. The food was kosher. The problem was they enjoyed. They felt, we're safe. We have this king who is going to protect us. That's what threw off of themselves the protection of Hashem. The Talmud says the Jewish people are like a sheep among 70 wolves. So when we think about it, like how can we exist, how can we survive? The only reason we could survive is because there is a shepherd that protects us. But when we focus on, and we think that something else protects us, we sort of cast off of ourselves Hashem's divine protection, and we're left to the devices of whatever we trusted in. That's the show. So, in order to precaution the protection of the Jewish people, we need to not ascribe any power to anything else other than Hashem, and not be so impressed by the president or anything else, and focus on the mission. And if you don't focus on the mission, as Baal Shem Tov says, you're focusing. If you're focused on Pari, you're focused on anything else, that's already. There's a trace of idolatry. Anything else other than, if it's not service of Hashem, it's service of something else. And when you fulfill this mission in this way, not only are you not in a place of danger, but more, you cause the Pharaoh himself to assist you. If you fulfill your mission in a way that you don't think about anything else but what Hashem wants of you, and you don't ascribe any power to anything else, so you affect Pari. Instead of Pari ruling over you, you change Pari. Not only does Pari free the Jewish people and they run away from Egypt, but Pari helps the Jewish people and sends them things from Egypt with them. Just like we learned before about the Egyptians killing their own, the Egyptian firstborn killing the men of the Pharaoh, so too Pari himself takes from his own things and gives them to Jewish people. So, what caused this? What caused this change in Pari? It was Moshe's words, send my people and let them serve me. Moshe told Pari, we need to go because we need to serve Hashem. When the Jewish people were focused on serving Hashem, that cast off of themselves the slavery to the Pharaoh. There are people who say the first half of the sentence. They don't say the second half of the sentence. The sentence Moshe told Pari in the name of Hashem was, Hashem says, send my people so that they should serve me. Some people just say, send my people. They don't and leave out the last part and that, so that they may serve me. I think the Rebbe may be referring to Zionistic aspirations of let's just have a homeland without it being connected to the service of Hashem. So, just like the Talmud says that you're not allowed to interrupt a verse in the middle, so too you can't interrupt this thought in the middle of send my people without thinking about what it's for. It's not just about for physical freedom, it's about the purpose of the physical freedom. What protects us from the pharaohs of every generation is our focus on the service of Hashem. We'll move on. It's understood. Shkasha'in the shachas ami hum tadav yavduni. If you give charity with the intent of giving charity, that's a much higher thing than losing your wallet and a poor person finding your wallet. Although that's also a mitzvah. If you lost your wallet and a poor person finds your wallet, that's a mitzvah. In fact, Chassidus says elsewhere that what caused you in the first place to lose your wallet was because your soul wanted to do a mitzvah, and so somehow it moved your intellect on the side to make you forget where your wallet was. So at least a mitzvah should be done, because you weren't giving that money away, so Hashem caused your mind to forget where the wallet was, so that a mitzvah could happen. So that's also a mitzvah, but it's much higher when you're doing this, you're actually intentionally giving charity to help someone. Similarly, if you're leaving Egypt because you want to serve Hashem, there's a different kind of spring in your step. You're walking with different sense of purpose. If and we merit to see not just the exodus of Egypt in the present tense from all the things that constrain the Jewish people, but as Hashem promised the Jewish people then, they'll never again see the Egyptians, so too Jewish people should exit the present exile with pride and with great wealth. So that's the end of this segment of the Ferengin. In short, what we learned today is that although Halacha says you're not to put yourself into a place of danger, Hashem does put us in different places. But because there's a law, you can't put yourself in a place of danger and you can't put someone else in a place of danger. We have to realize that wherever we are is not really a place of danger. We have the power to be wherever we are and to do the mission that Hashem has given us in the place that we're in. And when we focus on that mission and we don't turn away from the mission, then we don't end up becoming slaves to the Pharaoh. It's when we turn away from our mission that we invite other forces to dominate us. But instead, when we focus on the mission of Hashem, instead of being dominated, we're able to dominate and do the mission of Hashem being assisted by the various pharaohs in the world. L'chaim, l'chaim
l'racha. Your comment the other day about well springs being a trickle. So this is very interesting. After the attack, you know, Chavez, we had countries like Argentina, and Jordan, and Czechoslovakia publicly declare they're there to support and defend
Israel.
That's well sprinkled, you know.
What did I say? Was that connected? Well,
you were talking about the difference between a mikveh and well springs.
Oh.
And right, well springs could be a little trickle.
A trickle.
Trickle. Right. So, I mean, you know, Argentina, Jordan, Czechoslovakia, the trickles.
Got it.
But it's a change of the world.
Oh.
It's a change of the world.
Isn't
a practical point. I'm not much.